Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. A very good friend of mine that's been on the show several times, both this show and All About the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, Ron Moreno, is back. He's always bringing in some new goodies, some great stuff. Welcome to the show, Ron. It's good to have you
back.
Hi,
Jeff. How are you?
And also, my guest host tonight is a very special friend of mine, too, Jim Crockett, the guy that made Guitar Player Magazine the legend that it is now. Jim, it's great to have you.
It's very nice to be back again. Good to see you and everybody you have here.
Thank you. And then also, too, I have a session guitarist, Ed Tree. Great stuff. I mean, I'm jealous. I want his guitar so bad. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but it sustains forever, and it's just stock. He has some cool pickups on it, but basically the guitar is, I'm amazed that it sustains so much. Ed, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
And then also hanging with me, my very good friend, another bass player that I know, Doug Moore. Doug, it's good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, anyway, let's get into it because we have a lot to cover. So, Ron, I'm going to set it up to you.
Okay. Well, we brought actually more than what we could cover tonight. And logistically, I wasn't able to pick up one of the items, which is the PRA audio wireless system. So we're going to save that for the next show. But what we're going to focus on, first couple items up that are newer, is Big Joe Stomp Box Company, mm-hmm. and we're going to look at the lithium power supply, which is something that I dedicate to this Plex preamp. It's battery powered, and it's got a couple cool features that if you guys need a power supply, something that's a little different about it in that it's battery, but it has actually a few functions on it that allow you to visually see the percentage of the charge that is on at the moment, the battery life, and the current draw. So you depending on if you have 11 or 3 pedals, it tells you what milliamp you're using at the moment and the percentage you have, and also by hours how much time you have left. So rather than going blind, plugging in and whatnot, no, you could just take a
it'll
look at it and
it'll tell
you what's
go
going
out.
On. So yeah. It's a really neat thing. If you had two of them, they're about half the size of a typical power supply.
They're really small.
And it'd be 1,000 milliamp. And today, with getting on a stage and off a stage really quickly and not being able to take time to plug in your pedal board, mm-hmm. you could just get on the stage, be no cordless, have everything plugged in, and then get off within seconds, you know. So in that fact, it's big time.
Now, that power supply, is it just 9 volt or can you do 18 volt off of it?
It's 9 volt.
Nine.
Yeah, because it comes with a daisy chain, so you could daisy chain up to 8 pedals or whatever it is that you're using on the board. You know, there may be another one coming out that may have that feature. So
right, no, so for most of the standard Stomp Box pedals, unless you get one of those bigger ones, like the Super Looper or something like that. That's a huge, there's a few that are 18, but that's...
Which I actually use on my pedal board. I have a PS-101, which is their larger one. But what's cool about that is you can select between 9 mm-hmm. and 12, and it also has for 18. So I have one pedal that has 18 volt, and, you know, I need it for that purpose.
Well, the one that you're talking about, the PS-101, how many inputs?
Eight on that.
Eight, and each one's selectable for a separate voltage? So you could have, like, three 18s and two 9s?
No, I think there's only one for 18 and two for 12.
It's dedicated. It's dedicated.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. There's a little switch. And the LED will tell you what you're on at the moment, but it's really handy in that manner. You know, it's nice to have.
Okay, now that's cool. Now, you said that the lithium power supply is powering this Plex, the Gallen-Krueger Plex, which I'm really curious about.
Yeah, I have it dedicated to that. So, for example, if I don't need the pedals for the effects for any other use, then you have this powering the Plex, which is a preamp DI, mm-hmm. and you know, that's all I need, and no cord.
Mm-hmm. Well, this thing is amazing.
It's small, and you could use two, three of them at a time, and it's still...
It's about the size of, like, a little, kind of like a battery power supply for, like, a cell phone. It's a little bit, but it's really a small footprint.
Yep.
So it'll fit, it's like about a little over an inch wide, about 2.5 inches, almost 3 inches long, mm-hmm. and maybe an inch deep. And it's really cool.
I charged mine today with my iPhone charger.
Oh, this is rechargeable because it's
USB.
So it's a USB.
You could also use, you know, like one of the wall warts from Big Joe, and you can power it a little quicker. So you've got a couple ways you could do it.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, it turned on. I have one here. I'm going to take a picture of it.
Now, unless you're plugged in, you know, to a unit, then it won't show you the readout, but it'd tell you, I think, maybe without it, what kind of percentage you have.
Yeah, this was saying 93%.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, and then if you go there, it's good for 99.9 hours at this draw, which is zero. But if you plug in a pedal to it, then the milliamps will change and the time will change. But you always know what you got.
This is so cool. It's a necessity. It's a very important thing that a lot of people don't think about, but it's like, it's great to be this. I know people have had situations where they couldn't plug in their pedal board.
Yeah, that's
it. This thing is, and it's right. Well, let's take a look at it using the, let's talk a little more about the Gallen-Krueger.
The Plex is a newer product. I think Gallen-Krueger is now shipping their second shipment. But it encompasses a few functions. It's USB. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're recording to GarageBand or Pro Tools, whatever it is you do, you have that available. Also, there's an aux out. So if you're in the hotel room somewhere and you want to practice, you plug in the iPad or whatever you've got so you can practice whatever. And a headphone amplifier. So you've got a few functions in that respect alone. But you also have it on my pedal board as a preamp, you know, in front of your regular amplifier. But if you didn't use it as that, this also doubles as my amplifier, period. Meaning GK has three powered cabinets. So, for example, I'll take a link out of this, go to one of the powered cabinets that's 500 watts, and I don't need to take an amplifier to the gig. This is it. And I'm running it from a pedal board.
So this has a typical line out, so it can drive just a straight
line. So you go in to link it in there, XLR, and then, for example, if one of the cabinets 500 watts and you're doing a larger gig and you need more, you bring a second cabinet, make it 1,000 watts. But you're just bringing the cabinet. You're not bringing an amplifier. This I'm using this as control central on my pedal board.
Yeah.
So you have that. You also have a tuner as a mute, of course. Mm-hmm. You've got a compressor. And you've got an overdrive function. And the overdrive, each setting or feature for bass, mid, etc., there's a push knob on it. The color will change, and then you can go ahead and change or increase the output by 5 dB at certain increases in frequency for every single one of the tone knobs.
Okay, now that overdrive, is it voiced for bass or for guitar?
It's for bass because it's specifically a bass preamp. So they definitely looked at it that way, and they're in small increments. You know, it's it gets a little dirtier as you go up and change each section.
That's amazing.
But also you've got a pre-post and the ground lift on
it. Does
there.
It have a loop out?
Yeah, effects? So also it has center return. So for the pedal board, for example, mm-hmm. you'll be able to hear, you know, whatever effects you're going through for the if you need to go through mm-hmm. your loop.
Very cool. Well, let's take a listen to it.
All right. Okay, that's pretty much straight up. Turn the compressor off. So, you know what I'll do? I won't run through everything because it will take quite a bit to do, but I'll just use the bass bump, for example. That's at zero. That's the first setting. Second setting. And in that case, that has two settings. Back to flat. And so on through the mid-range. Let's do the overdrive as an example. I have it on three, so it's got a little dirt.
Yeah, it's giving you kind of a...
But let's take it back to one. Two.
So it just has a little growl to it.
Three.
It's sounding that it's more like volume boost. I'm not hearing as much distortion. The distortion seems pretty subtle.
As you dig into this string a little more, it will act, okay. you know, accordingly. So it will get a little more dirty as you grind into there a little bit.
So it's sensitive to how you
touch
mm-hmm. your dynamics.
Yep. And then the compressor. Same deal. We have first setting. We lost power.
Now, was that...
Could be the cable.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I looked right at his pedal board, and the lithium battery was saying it was still juice.
Could
still
be this cable here we have. Anyway, it's a Swiss Army knife, and in order to go through it, it would take the whole show, actually.
Yeah.
But it's quite the handy
But you
tool.
Were saying that, in general, it's a very clean preamp. I mean, you can dial the distortion, but it's a very clean cabinet. You were recommending it for acoustic guitar.
It could be, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I mean, it would make perfect sense because it would do all those things for recording, for a live setup, and, you know, EQ and everything else, and a DI, it would work probably really fantastic, actually. Mm-hmm. Plus, it has a compressor. So it's something maybe we'll try on the next show, let you try it out.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I'll bring one of my acoustic guitars down.
Yeah.
I like how do you like the compressor on that?
It's real subtle. It's real natural. You know, I don't use compression typically, but this one sounds great. And if you want to use it for an effect where you're purposely squishing maybe one of the effects to get a sound per se, it's real handy, actually.
Yeah. You know? Now, is the compressor after the loop?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. It's after.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to write that down. But the also, too, we should mention, it's hard to tell sometimes. You know, with the you know, when he's kicking in the compressor, it is subtle. But part of it is because he has a killer bass that's real balanced. So tell him a little bit about this bass.
This is an F bass, which, I've been using since the late 80s. Actually, I was the one that introduced it into the country when I worked at the Bass Center in Studio City. It was a brand that I was interested in. I had heard a band called Uzeb out of Canada, mm-hmm. fusion band. And I really dug the record, and the bass player, Alain Caron, was using this bass, and I was curious. So I had purchased a fretless and brought it in, and the store decided, you know, that they'd go ahead and bring in the line. So That was the first introduction into the U.S., and from here on out, it's been, they're quite, you know, the base in the pro bass world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the wood of that body?
This is alder and a maple neck. It's called a VF5. It's, you know, more or less, you know, his take on some the vintage style type of thing, but of what he does stylistically, it's different, but in many respects, it's very traditional feeling, mm-hmm. and it feels like a jazz bass to me, you know, so I didn't have to, it's not a stretch.
It's a narrow scale, a narrow
It's
neck.
A 19 millimeter like you would on your four-string bass at the bridge.
Right, but I mean, it's comparable to a jazz
yeah,
neck.
Yeah, the nut.
That
uh-huh.
type, yeah.
Yeah, so it feels very much like your four-string.
Yeah, for a five-string, it's... It looks like a four. You're right. It looks like a four string.
You know, so most guys would be acclimated to it right away. And this is a PJ setup. It's passive because, you know, I don't need a preamp on the bass. I've got one on the board or the EQ mm-hmm. of the board or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you get more of a purity tone.
So I'm going to have you just kind of play the thing straight so people get an idea. And then real quick, tell them about your strings that are on here because that's part of that sound too.
These are Labella. They're basically the Super Step line. It's got a contact core exposed at the bridge, so it allows the string to vibrate a lot more. And it has a very good fundamental, which is what I like about this particular string.
You know, and the ones he's using now are nickel.
Yeah.
They usually come in
steel. Uh-huh. So it's a little brighter typically. Labella made me these because I just wanted to try it. And we recorded it. It sounded really great.
But play a little bit because it gets that growl that's really nice. It's gonna be, now, this is the low B string. And yeah. Listen, you can, there's overtones there. You can hear everything.
Just really solid.
That is. It's clean, and I mean, to me, the important thing is it's not, you don't lose the articulation, the harmonics that you're getting from the lower string. You can hear the note. It's not just,
right,
you know,
a woofy kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Usually the low B string, you can lose it,
mm-hmm.
and it's really clean. It's a great sounding guitar. It's really good.
And the plex is flat, pretty much, so, you know, you can do what you want from there with it.
Now, you told me that the Plex, is that available now?
It is.
It's available now,
yep.
and it's Streets for $299?
Correct.
Wow. $299. Wow. Doug, you have to get one of these, I'm telling you right now.
It's pretty slick. I mean, in terms of having a piece of gear at the house or in the studio or on the road, or if you do use it with the powered cabinets, it's pretty cool thing. I mean, just show up with the cabinet and
that's
plug it
cool.
in and you're all good.
That's yeah. great.
And you wouldn't know. Nobody would really know. I mean, it's powerful. It's got a lot of
We're running it out from his Canon connector out right into the board. So you're hearing it direct. So it's a great studio interface. It just works great. I mean, this is a great sounding little guy.
I've got it wound up right now on the jazz pickup, which is single coil, and it's quiet. I mean, and normally you'd hear a little bit of noise, but nothing.
Yeah.
That's the
well, that's
testament
your,
to the
that's
DI.
Your bass.
Well, the DI, too. It's
yeah.
really clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's real quiet. It's real black background. You know, there's no noise.
No, it's clean. I mean, and this room's brutal because we have fluorescent lights in here. Both guitars are really, there's no noise. I mean, I'm amazed because they're not anything, they're not active, which usually is what people need to do to make them
mm-hmm.
quiet. So
it's a great piece of gear. I urge guys to get out there and try it. You know, if you have a store and they're a GK dealer, get out there and just ask them if you could give it a shot, because I think they'd really dig it and land up buying it.
I think this is going to be a big deal for that price range. I think that's a great little studio tool.
Yeah.
And also for live. You
yeah.
can plug in anything. Now, before we get into the guitar effects
mm-hmm.
and Ed, let's talk about this Beat Buddy.
Yeah.
I love the sound of this thing. It's great.
You know, this is a cool product. This is the Mini, which I have plugged in. Most guys have already heard of the Beat Buddy, the original version. But I made a couple notes on the major differences between the two.
Mm-hmm.
The Beat Buddy Mini is 16-bit mono sound. It's got 120 song styles, 24 genres, and various time signatures. The regular Beat Buddy has 200 songs, 24-bit stereo, 10 drum kits, and 12 beat styles. But if you want to download, you know, grooves from your own computer, you can do that up to 3 million. And I thought that was a typo.
It'll store 3 million?
It's an SD card on there. And if you want to get into it where you're a live performer and you want to lay out your set, this would be the one to have. Not only in that function, but also sonically. It just sounds mm-hmm. great. It's 24-bit as opposed to 16. The Beat Buddy Mini actually sounds great, and I had a blast trying it the other day because I didn't want to mess with anything. I just wanted to turn it on and play to it. And that's actually a good deal.
How do you program it? Is there an interface to program it?
Yeah, like, I mean, you could take it out USB and go into the computer, and it also there's firmware for other grooves. But also the stuff that's already in there is 200 of them to start with. So you'll likely spend quite a bit of time just with the regular, actually even with the Mini, because you have, when we turn it on, it has the loop itself, and then it has a B section programmed for you. So one of the things I liked about it is when you're kind of trying to write a motif and you come up with a nice little groove and a little thing with one loop, but you didn't go out of your way and write another section to change it or make a variance. This has it in there by a button.
So can you show that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and turn it on. That'll start the main loop with the first button on the unit itself. I have a foot switch that's plugged into it that is an option that you could purchase that will do an accent for whatever sound they have accented, cymbal or whatever. So if you're trying an accent, you know, the chorus or bridge, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the third switch on the foot switch, you could pause the track. So if you're in the middle of the tune and you have a break, you can stop it in time, start it again. And then when you hold it, you'll hear the second variance of the groove. So let me turn it on. We'll see what we can do. Got a little 6/8 blues.
That's a great sounding kick drum.
And then I'll accent the cymbal anywhere, but you could do it as many times as you want. You could pause the track and start it again.
So it goes back to the beginning of the sequence.
It'll stay with that loop. And then, for example, if you're going to the chorus section, B section.
And it derives that from what you programmed.
Well, no, I didn't program a thing. This is all by touch of a button.
But, I mean, how does it know to do that?
They've got it already in here. It's already set.
So that beat was one of their presets.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get what you're
saying.
Yeah,
it's already in here. And then I'll go
back
to the original loop. You did that by hitting the switch again.
Yeah. Back to the original loop. Then
that's very cool.
To finish the tune, or your solo artist, whatever, and you don't want to just stop it like this, you just double click it. And it takes you out in a fill and finishes the tune.
That is cool.
So it sounds great. It's a lot of fun. You'll spend hours and days with it on just exploring what is already in there, you know, and you don't have to do a thing, you know.
Now, I got to ask Jim something because he's a drummer. Do you feel threatened by this?
Absolutely.
Because that.
Try the trumpet or something. So much for all those.
That's incredible. I mean, it does the breaks and everything.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
I mean, it is a really, the drum machines that we had in the past, which there are none anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this one in a pedal form, and you don't have to learn, you know, a 200-page manual anymore. It's just like grab and go kind of a deal. So it's quite the tool, and quite honestly, I'd recommend it for a drummer because it has metronomes in there. So if you're trying to, at a rehearsal, and you're marking times with the band, or you're trying to interject maybe percussion into the track and you mm-hmm. guys want to sing to it, this is the way to go.
Now, do you have MIDI out? Can it trigger other things?
There is on the regular Beat Buddy.
Regular, okay.
Yeah. That actually, you can sync to your looper or any MIDI device, right, or clock it. And then you have all the other functions in that thing, which is quite unlimited.
When you on either one of them, when you load, if you want to load custom beats,
yeah,
can you export from like a sequencer that you're using to that? Does it accept MIDI in? How do you load? What's the format for the?
I haven't done it. But, you know, typically you would just link it to the computer, whatever loops you've got on the computer via MIDI, right? Or USB.
Yeah, but I mean the data that makes the new loop, that composes the loop. I mean, it has the sounds contained in it. Is that a MIDI file?
Yeah. So a WAV file.
Oh, it is? No, the sounds of the drum are a WAV.
Yeah.
But the beats are, it's MIDI programming, right? Controlling
the
waves.
Yeah.
So basically you import. So let's say that I'm writing some bizarre prog thing that's 7/4, 5/4, and I'm doing really complex stuff. I can program that in Digital Performer or Cubase or something like that and import that.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's
for either one, the mini or the big one.
Yeah, I mean, most guys would probably want to combine them both and just bring their entire library into the big one, you know, for live use or a set, you know, just chart it out, you know, just whatever you guys are doing. But it's a great sound, and you know, it's a lot of fun, whether you're going to use it to that extent or just go home and just play with it and write with it and write tunes, you know?
Well, it's a good way. It's a more fun metronome.
Yeah.
To keep your time up, you know, because it's rock solid. I think that's a good thing. And what's that street for?
The Mini is $99 and the regular Beat Buddy is $299.
Really?
Yeah. And the drums in there, they're loops with a real guy, unquantized. So that's why it feels the way it feels.
So it's pretty $99 and $199?
$299. Yeah, because that one has, well, I mean, it's endless. And if we were to take a look at that one, it's a whole different animal, which we could do next time around.
$99, that's amazing. Yeah, that is amazing. That's for the price.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, it's like, it's a blast.
So, no, that's great. And, okay, so now we're going to go ahead over to the guitar pedals.
Yeah.
And then if it's okay with you guys, at the end of the show, maybe we'll do a groove and you can take us out with that. I think that'd be really, really, really cool. So
I'd love to play with a Beat Buddy.
Ed will demo the Big Joe Tremolo, which is a newer pedal from then, but it is one of the better tremolos I heard on the market to date. And he also has their phaser, which is one of my favorite phasers in that exist at the moment. It's very, you know, authentic, to say the least.
Yeah. No, I want to. Well, we're gonna go. We'll try to cover a bunch of them.
Right.
Because he has some of the overdrive thing is honorable mention. There's some really.
Oh yeah.
What he
yeah.
did with that, and then that volume pedal's killer. Yeah. So well, let's just go down the
line. Yeah, let Ed do it.
Okay. Go. Take it away.
All right. Well, you mentioned the tremolo, and the first time I heard that, I just couldn't turn the thing off. You know, there's a straight sound, and here it is with the tremolo. It sounds fairly standard, right? But it's got the controls on it. The nice thing is that there's an output control. So if you use your tremolo on your Fender amp, as soon as you hit the tremolo, you'll notice that your volume has dropped a little bit. It's just intrinsic. That's what happens with tremolo. Mm-hmm. And you can actually get a little boost out of this tremolo pedal. So you've got makeup gain, plus you can add a little bit more. I'll turn it off here. Tremolo off.
Yeah, it's right. It's there.
Very healthy, right? I tried that on a gig once with my beautiful Fender Vibralux from '66. I had the tremolo on the amp working. It sounded great. And I said, well, let me just A-B them. And I actually preferred the Big Joe tremolo. Mm-hmm. That may be sacrilegious, but I did. You know, the other controls in there, there's a shape control. So you can go from your sine wave Fender kind of tremolo. a Vox tremolo, which is the square off and on kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the other type.
You're right. And you also have a tone control on there. I've got it a little darker. The speed varies from very slow. I had too much to dream last night or something.
It reminds me a lot of the blackface Fender type of tremolo circuit.
Yeah.
The earlier brownface with the full, it had a dedicated tube. It's a little different, but this is the most popular sound.
Right. And it just sounds good.
That's cool that you have both of the square wave and the other. The square wave can come in handy too.
Yeah. Because you can use it as an effect. And if you turn the depth all the way up and use that, then you get that. You probably don't want to use that all the time, but if you were looking for an effect, you know, it's there. And like all the Big Joe stuff, the thing that impressed me when I first plugged into it is that I didn't lose any fidelity out of my guitar and amp setup.
All of the Big Joe pedals are true bypass, right?
True bypass, yeah. all designed and manufactured in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Made in Connecticut. And
very little circuit loss. They're not. Are they buffering inside each pedal?
I don't know. That would be a question for the engineer,
Paul,
Dave.
Because it's incredible. You're not getting any loss. That's a clean circuit. If they're not boosting, that's cool. Okay, no, that's very, very cool.
Right. Didn't even talk about the chorus pedal, so I'll just turn it off and on here.
It's got a nice shimmer.
And again, that's got a level control on it, which is nice. So
you can kind of buffer through your signal chain.
Right. So you're not losing.
And that's the
signal.
That's the B305.
Correct. And that's one of their newer pedals. It's a smaller footprint than their original, which were a little bit larger than you'd say your standard MXR pedal. So it's the chorus pedal is the smaller footprint. The tremolo is a little bit larger. And we have got an analog delay here.
Well, while you're mentioning that, one of the things that's interesting is that is a analog chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting because the sound of that thing is definitely that richness of it. It's a definitely analog. I mean, I've played digital choruses and they're good, but that's a nice. It has a nice. Picking up the harmonic content of the guitar, it gets that lush. It's a very lush sound, a very cool sound.
Well, the engineer and the president of Big Joe, those guys are all guitar players, so they're not just.
We had Big Joe on before when you came on, and I was impressed with the Johnny Winter pedal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that thing sounded like Johnny Winter.
Yeah.
It had that distortion that he
got.
It was very cool. And so the delay is now. Is the delay set up to lose the highs like an Echoplex, or is it designed to be just clean? Like
it's fairly clean, but it is an analog.
So it's meant to, because that's a desired effect. It's not a defect in the circuit. It's made and it's intentional. Echoplex was known; it would degrade as it was going through the loop. Can hear it, and notice that he's using the Big Joe volume pedal with that.
Yeah, and he'll let you in on a couple features that volume pedal has that a lot of volume pedals don't have.
Right.
That delay is nice. It's how long does it get?
This I think is 500.
Yeah.
And And it's adjustable, so you can have more delays, so it'll right. kind of feedback. So it has two outputs too. He's using one,
right?
And but the second one, so you can isolate. Is one clean and one's the just all echo?
I don't know. I should know that. Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just use this board mono. But that's a good
question. Because one of the tricks I used to use with my Echoplex is, right. especially with Fenders with parallel inputs,
right.
is I would run the second input into the Echoplex into another amp. That's a lot of guys like Hendrix, he would do it with the Marshalls and the Fenders. He would chain. You can chain amps in series by doing that.
Right.
You lose a little bit of gain, but you have the amps cranked up and that many amps, it didn't matter. But I would run the Echoplex into another amp, and I would get it would... If you're playing fast and you're using a long echo, it doesn't mush up on you. You can
right.
you can still get hear it clear. It's a little trick. That's why I always ask about that, because some of them are include they dial it in one output, so you basically it's made to just go into one amp. But when you can isolate it like that, when you use the longer delays with more delay, mm-hmm. it stays cleaner. You don't get it doesn't get out of control like you would if you were just going to the one amp.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's a nice sound. Again, I've always been impressed with Big Joe. Is the tone? They got the sound.
That's what they're about.
Yeah.
You know.
Now tell us about this volume pedal. This is very cool.
So the volume pedal is the feature that's really nice. Other than it just being a straight up nice feel for the volume pedal, but it has a clean boost built into it that's programmable. So here I've got about 5 or 6 dB of boost at the top of the pedal. Sometimes if you're using a volume pedal that doesn't have that feature, when you go through the pedal, you're going to lose a little bit. You'll lose 2 or 3 dB at the top of your pedal as opposed to if you were not using the pedal at all. This one you can add a little at the top, and I'm going to turn it off right now. This is my top volume.
You can hear it. That's with the boost.
Yeah.
So it's handy for like the when you want to just going from rhythm to lead, it works exactly. really well. Plus, you have the volume.
And it just clicks on. So you just step on it, and there's your boost. And like I said, you can get up to 15 dB of the clean boost.
And it's an analog circuit, too. It's right. again, so it has that character. We were talking about that with the volume. When you pull right. back, it filters a little bit like a volume control mm-hmm. on your guitar. Very cool. Very cool.
Right.
And that's so that can go up to 15 dB. So if you need to push that, he's using a really nice Princeton. If you want that thing to distort, that 15 dB will crunch it really good. It'll give it a nice clean boost. That's very cool. Well, let's go to those other ones. I want to hear
right.
those other guys.
There's two more pedals here. We have the phase shifter, which was a Guitar Player magazine pick. And there you go. A little shout out to Guitar Player Magazine. So it's got several features on it. It's got a mix control on it, which is very nice because you can get just a little bit of shimmer to the sound. It's not overwhelming
yeah, it's
you.
It's not. And it's just mixing in some of the clean sound with it. So you're
right.
Getting it. Yeah, that's very cool.
And I'm going to turn the mix all the way up. And I'm actually going to turn the speed all the way up and give us a Leslie.
Now, do me a favor and keep it on the fast setting.
Right.
And dial back the mix so it's subtle, because this could be an interesting sound. It's a little subtler. Go even more. Pull it back even more. So it's just a little bit in the background.
So we're now at about 9 o'clock.
So it's kind of shimmering in the background.
Right.
It's just giving you a little bit of that in it. So it's subtle, but it gives you
a little vibrato, you know.
Yeah, it's just subtle. Mm-hmm. And it's so you can do cool things like that.
And one of the other things it does really well.
They need to. One suggestion is they need to do that to both the chorus and the if they have a flanger so that you can make it subtly in the background. That mix control is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
That's a very cool thing. Just throwing that out, Big Jumper.
Yeah. You know Jerry Donahue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jerry loves that chorus pedal, by the way. It also does a...
How much resonance? Is that a four... I don't know if you know this. Is a four-pole or a six-pole filter?
Oh, no.
Go pull the resonance up so we can hear how much the sweep is. And slow the sweep down so we can... The rate.
Okay.
Is that the widest sweep of it?
Yeah, that's the most feedback.
No, the sweep. Now go there. There you go. Okay, slow the rate down. That one. That's pretty wide.
So it really gets the yowl of a...
Well, what's interesting about that sound, the reason I'm asking that is the slower speed with that much resonance and feedback is very close to that classic electroharmonic small stone, which is it's different than the standard MXR type phaser sound.
Right.
But it has that long sweep, so it's rich. So like if you're just doing arpeggios or something with that low sweep, it really is a nice effect. But the harmonic content of that sweep is—it's a real rich filter.
Yeah, it's pure sound,
and can get pretty close to a univibe too.
Why don't you show you that?
Gets that yowl going on.
And a little overdrive in that would do
well,
it.
He's
you know?
He's getting it. It's feedbacking a little bit, so it's kind of it's he's getting a resonant feedback, which is kind of cool. It almost sounds like a harmonic feedback. Part of that is because his guitar sustains forever.
And last but not least, we have the 404 overdrive here.
Mm-hmm.
And this has four knobs on it as well. It's got a presence control, which matches up with a lot of different guitars and amps. It's nice to add that top end or pull it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of overdrive, an output knob, and then it's got a four-position mid-range control. A little darker sound there.
One of the things we were setting up before the show, which was really interesting, is he set the distortion on, he left it on, and then it's really sensitive to your playing style. If you dig in, it really distorts. But listen here. So it's fairly clean. It's very, the character of it is like, you know, like he's using a Fender amp. If you were using like a twin at about 5 or 6, it's fairly clean. There's a little bit of bloom in it, but it's playing. But if you dig in, it'll dirt up a little bit, just enough. Not an overblown sound, but it's subtle, but it's very cool.
Oh, here's that example. Here's. I didn't change the pedal at all.
Yeah. Set your guitar like a good funk type of sound,
right.
And just play because it's not digging in a lot, but a light touch. But it again, that little bit of distortion just gives the character to it. Gives it a nice. Because part of that sound is when he's playing those chords, they just break up a little bit. It's subtle. But it, so it's still clear. You can hear it, and it's responsive. It's real. You're getting the groove. It's very rhythmic, but it gives you that just a little bit of distortion, so it gives it a character like if you had your amp at 4 or 5 playing, mm-hmm. which is that's part of the sound. You know, we've gone in the studio and played really clean, like direct through the board, but it's a good sound in itself. But that sound is the sound. I mean, with the pedal even direct, I think it would sound like you were playing through an amp. I mean, that's a very cool little thing.
Well, that's their concept. It was not to fuss mm-hmm. with changing or make it sound like a pedal, but yeah. have it be part of your amp.
But that dynamic is really the fact that you can control it by your... You know, a lot of guitar players don't want to fuss with it. They want to basically just play.
Yeah.
Now, do me a favor and set that up for a more overblown sound. I'm curious how the distortion sounds on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great sound in itself. Guitar sustains. Now, real quick, so they know what you're doing here, because this is an unusual guitar. It's an Alder body by Cray, and it's a Fender neck. Go through the pickups and stuff.
It is a Fender body. It's the Robert Cray
Fender,
model.
Robert Cray Fender.
Yeah, which is a hardtail. It's got no tremolo bar. And the strings go through the body like a Telecaster.
But all the sustain that he's getting out of the guitar, it's a standard bridge, standard nut. There's nothing. No, he has a couple little things that he's doing, but not for the sustain. But then, what are these pickups? Tell them. About
these are Seymour Duncan pickups, and they come together as a set that are attached to a pickguard with all the wiring, the knobs and the switch. And the bridge pickup is a JB Junior. Mm-hmm. So it's a humbucking pickup. In the size of a single coil, and the middle pickup is a duck bucker, mm-hmm. which gets a very clean. That completely sounds like a single coil pickup, right?
Yeah.
But without the noise. And the front pickup is a little 59. There's a rear pickup.
It's kind of in the middle between a humbucker and single, all of them.
Right.
So it's kind of, you can do a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. It has enough strength and gain that you can really push it like a humbucker, but at the same time, it's still light enough where it's very close.
Records, so he doesn't need the noise. So
yeah, and it's very clean. There's just no noise coming out of that. Now, one other thing before we go, we're almost done. We're almost out of time. Is he does a little cool thing. You got to tell him about this on the G string.
Yeah, I have two hardtail strats. One is an older Fender, and this guitar is really a parts guitar, all Fender parts, but I put it together. But both these hardtails had a really resonant G string, so when I would hit a chord, the G string would have an after effect of just sustaining more than the other strings did. So I just went, what can I do to dampen that? I just went to a hobby store and got a little bit of plastic tubing and put them on the string above the nut, and it was perfect. It just made it sound like all the other ones.
So you're not getting any extra harmonic content from the other side of the bridge.
Right.
It's not resonating.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's the little angel music I was getting then.
Mm-hmm.
The G string was really popping out there, the extra resonance.
Which is probably a big issue for lots of guys, actually. So that's a good trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that extra content makes it harder to tune it. You're getting that extra material in the G string, so it's more sensitive to if you're a little slightly off.
And if you listen to the guitar, still very balanced. There's no adverse effect on that string. It's just that the unwanted resonance.
Well, we're out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
So real quick, Ron, mm-hmm. give information where they can get more information from you.
Well, I mean, I don't have my website anymore, so you guys could probably get a hold of me and PM me on Facebook or something like that, and I could get you information, send you to a dealer on any of this stuff. Just look up my name and send me a message.
Okay. And then, Ed, tell me, you have a studio and stuff. How can people get more information what you're doing and what's happening with you?
You know, I don't have a website. I don't advertise. It's all word of mouth. So I'll give my contact information to you, and if someone calls me, wants to get in touch with you.
Are you on Facebook?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm again today. I did not get on Facebook.
Oh, shame. Well, it's good to have you here. Yeah. You got to come back. This stuff is great.
Thank you, Jeff.
And Jim too. I want to just mention real quick the book. The Guitar Player, go ahead and mention where that's available. It's pretty much available everywhere, right?
Yeah, with any luck. I mean, you order it through music stores or bookstores, remember bookstores?
It's on Amazon and everything, too, so it's available.
Yeah, it's called Guitar Player, the inside story of the first two decades of the most successful guitar magazine ever.
We had Jim on the show.
He says subtly.
Well, no, and it's amazing. You'll hear the whole story of how the magazine started and what it did. And I mean, I've read Guitar Player since I was in high school, and it's a major influence for most of the musicians today.
Yeah.
And it's an important document. And the story behind it's very fascinating. And the thing I wish I could have seen, I was never up north with it when you guys were publishing, but the thing is, was it Friday or Saturday you had a jam, right?
Oh, it was every month. Actually.
Every month.
When the magazine went to the printer, we because the company was all built by musicians, even though they might be writers or editors or accountants or something like that. When I hired them, they first had to have a love of music, mm-hmm. particularly guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd all go downstairs to the warehouse, where we had all these stacks of back issues and stuff like that. And we'd have, you know, some food and drink and whatnot. And every once in a while, we would have guests coming in. Jerry Garcia played with us. B.B. King played a couple of times, came back, had such a good time. He said he spent all of his time playing gigs. He just never just sat down and just played out of happiness. Hmm. And so he loved it, just playing in mm-hmm. the warehouse with a bunch of guys.
A bunch of guitarists.
But, I'll tell you something very interesting to me. As you mentioned, I was a drummer for most of my life. And the reason I got started playing drums was I looked at people with, clarinets and things like that with all these little keys and whatnot. And I thought, if I could find something and hit it with a stick, by God, I could be a drummer. And that's really how I got started. Now, if you were just starting as a drummer, you have to learn all of these things that I learned when I come to the show and I listen to people like you guys. And that, that was just basically what a guitar was, six strings, and you had a pick, and you went wham, 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 and you stayed home on the range. That was guitar. It seems to have changed over years.
Yeah.
And the same thing with drums, and, which is why I don't play nearly as many gigs as I used to. You look at drummers bringing out, their all their drum set and stuff, and then out come these boxes of things, and all these chords going somewhere, and I just want to play a little shuffle and
snare brushes. Very cool. It's true. It all went digital. There's a lot digital, and electronics are a very important part of most instruments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. Well, listen, thank you guys all for coming on the show. It was really great. And we have to do this again. There's more pedals coming, so we'll be doing some more stuff later in the year.
Yep.
And so what we're going to do to take us out is we're going to put a groove on from the Beat Buddy.
Yep.
And Ed's going to take us out. So everybody have a great week. We'll be back next week.
Here we go. Start to fill. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.